Today is the last series of the Elijah's journey to be with God. One of the famous quotes many of us have heard is, growing older is mandatory, and growing up is optional. I know that many of us try to change the word growing older is not should be the mandatory, and we try to change this mandatory demand in life by having us many different cosmetic surgeons to help us out, right? But it is a truth that you know you are getting old when you and your teeth do not sleep together. You know you are getting old when your back goes out, but you stay home. You know that you are getting old when your idea of a night out is sitting on the patio. And you know that you are getting old when your happy hour is a nap time. And also, you know that you are getting old when you are on vacation, your energy runs out before your money does. It didn't happen, by the way, the vacation I just had. The meaning is I'm not there yet, but I'm going there. When you are, you know that you are getting old when your address book has mostly names that start with a doctor. And you know that you are getting old when everything hurts and what doesn't hurt does not work. And also, you know that when you are getting old and then you are, your memory is shorter and your complaining lasts longer. And then there are other lists to check it out, how old I am, how much I'm getting older or not. But I decided to cut it up to the 10 list because it was on and on and on, and then everybody's getting older no matter what. You can find it. The difference between growing up and growing old is attitude. That is the bottom line. Such is the case with Elijah. When we observe the Elijah's life, it is definitely for us to tell that he's growing older at the same time he's growing up. And the time goes by, growing older is a mandatory. You and I have no option. It is a mandatory. But it's growing up is not a mandatory. It is an option. You and I have a choice. When Elijah was called by God when he was a country man and to speak up to Ahab, he just went there and spoke whatever God told him to speak. And then after that, he got scared and he realized that his word was not receptive by the listeners. So he went back and ran away back to his hometown countryside, Gilead. And he hide out. And then probably while he's hide out from the fear of the Ahab and Jezebel, he was kind of complaining to God. God, why did you tell me to tell these things to these amazing people? And I'm scared. My life is online right now. And there was a drought, and for 3 years you told me to do so. Right now, well, how am I going to be fed? And the raven came, and he was fed by that raven. And then it went on for 3 years. And then after 3 years, he was told by God once again to go back and told and challenge these people. And so he went back. And then he gathered up whatever God told him to gather up. And then about the one side of the Baal worshippers there. And on the other side is by himself. And then he prayed to God to give him another rain. And then rain came. And then the Baal, the worshippers are lost at the side of the Elijah. It was a great weaning process. And then not all of that. But however, after that, and then he was fed by the widows too. They're one by one. He complained. The bottom line is this. He listened, did whatever God told. And then it didn't go the way he expected him, expect his expectation. It didn't go the way it should according to his expectation. So he ran back to his cave and then hide out and complain. And then he nurtured him again and bring him out of the cave and do the things what God wanted him to do. And he graciously and courageously came out and did the things what God told him to do. And it didn't go the way he wanted to go. So he went back. That is a pattern. Do you see the pattern of your life? At one point that you feel that you got everything. And then later on, oh my God, I have nothing. That the swing of the mood, the swing of a conviction is there. That is the growing up process. We call the sanctification process in the church, if we put it in the theological term in here. If we just simply say that, that process is a disciple-making process. The mission of our church is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Unless you and I become a disciples of Jesus Christ, we cannot help other people become a disciples of Jesus Christ. The pattern of the Elijah's life, we are able to see this pattern of life in our lives also. When he finally, before he was getting into the sanctification mode without any having any complaint, he was in the cave, the scripture lesson we just read. God said, go out, and I want you, Elijah, to go back and do some more work. I want you to anoint Hazael, king of the Aram, the king of the left, the political of the world. And go out, anoint yes, the king of Israel, the kingdom of right, the believers in the one true God. And go out, Elijah, anoint Elijah as your successor. The spiritual need of the people through your successor, Elijah, will be accomplished. The last stage of his life, he received another mission while he was in the cave. Go out, go back. And anointing people, that is going to be your job. In the political arena, there is the people you needed to bless. Our governors, our presidents, person in the power in a hierarchy system or governing system, we needed to bless them. And this is because Elijah's last mission is anointing people. People who are in power. And the second, anoint the people of God in the community. Bless them. Instead of complaining about them, bless them. And out of all those people of God, select one person, the successor, bless extra special way to carry on the ministry. I know all you and I have some issue with the governors or the power in the political area right now. I heard so many complaints, but I never heard. Well, that is a too radical statement. I heard very little voice saying that they are praying for our presidents, that they are praying for the governors, they are praying for our representatives. Well, how many times we do complain before we pray for these people? The last commandments that Jesus told us is go, but we are staying in here. And then when also we feel that we are so lonely, we feel that I'm the only one have to do all of that. But Elijah was the same way too. However, God said, there are 7,000 people more out there. You are not alone. Today we will focus on Elijah as an example of someone who truly well sanctified his life, growing up well and spiritually, and finished his life very well. And this one is coming from the 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 through 11, to summarize his last stage of his life on the earth. It goes like this. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel." And but Elisha said, as surely as the Lord lives, as you live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel together. The company of the prophet at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Yes, I know, Elisha replied. So he be quiet. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he replied, as surely as the Lord lives, as you live, I will not leave you. So they went to Jericho together. The companion of the prophet at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Yes, I know, he replied. So be quiet. He doesn't want to hear it. Then Elijah said to him, stay here. The Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he replied, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So the two of them walked on. 50 men from the company of the prophet went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak and rolled it up and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. This scene is similar to the Moses, right? And it happened right there. And when they crossed, when they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit, Elisha replied. You have asked difficult things, Elijah said. Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours, otherwise it will not. As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. Elijah went up to heaven in a windmill. Here, the lesson number one from Elijah is, Elijah kept obeying God right up to the end. Four times we heard him say, for the Lord has sent me. That's the way Elijah lived. And he continues to live that way right up to the end. The Lord has sent me. One of the greatest temptations, the older Christians, older Christian does not mean your physical age, but it's older Christian means how many years or days you attended a church from the conviction of Jesus Christ in your heart. Some people, 10 years since you recognize the grace of God. Let me step in here for a second. In a Methodist church, theology can be summarized in one word, which is grace. Prevenient grace, justifying grace, and sanctifying grace. Prevenient grace is the grace that you and I receive before even recognize God. That is the grace of the prevenience. When we have aha moment, yes, God loves me. That is called the justifying moment. In Methodist church, we call it justifying grace moment. Aha moment. Yes, God loves me. After that aha moment, sanctification process begins. Try to get closer to God. Just be the good disciple. Follow all the discipline of Jesus Christ he given to us. And to be more like Jesus, to be more like God in the community of faith, so they can see God in us and Jesus in us, so they can experience the grace of God and the love of God. Those are the three steps of the sanctification process as a grace. And then here, when we older Christians who are already in the journey of the sanctification process we are talking about, which is you and I. Whoever in the church, we are a part of the sanctification process in here. All the Christians, doesn't matter 1 year old, 2 years old in our spiritual walk, all of us are older Christians because you and I are not newborn baby Christians yet at this point. And some of us are, but not all of us in here. So older Christian, when I address it in here, is not the just age person, the physical age, but it's your spiritual age. One of the greatest temptation the older Christian, like you and I, have faced is not a wild night at the bar. That is not a temptation for us. It is not a temptation to run drugs or rob banks. The temptation we are facing is simply do nothing, much of anything, because we have done that. That message is coming. They work at their jobs because that's how they pay the comforts of life. They spend time with their kids or in case the grandkids because they can have a very affirming moment. They go to church 3 or 4 times a month because that soothes the consciousness. There's not as much temptation towards overseeing as there once was. The temptation now is toward the sin of omission. James chapter 4 verse 17 said, anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sin. Do you know the good things in your life? Do you know that you can do some good for others and you do not do? That is called sin in here, according to James. What did Jesus tell us to do? Once again, go into the world and preach the gospel. There is a mission to be accomplished. Go and make disciples and preach the gospel. There are people in misery and shame who need our message, actually message of God. Jesus said, go. But most Christians stay. They stay with their friends. They stay where they are comfortable. And they send themselves to where they wanted to go rather than letting the Lord send them where he wants them. They hunker down where it's safe. The temptation to say to others, let someone else do it. I'm tired. I've done that. Let younger generation do it. They have more energy. Let men do it. They have more muscle. Let women stay in the kitchen because they usually cook better cook than a man or me. I don't see that in Eliza, this kind of attitude. To where God is sending you to do what? To where God is sending you to do what in this morning? Do you have any idea? Or you're tired? You feel that you paid the due already. For Elijah, it is to anoint the kings and then others and then his successors. His last mission is anointing others, blessing others, not complaining about anything, but blessing others. What if Elijah had an entire mentality that said, I paid my dues. Let someone else do their part. I don't think that will help us to read his story these days if he had that attitude. He finished his race obediently to the word of God. Secondly, Eliza is still breaking through the barriers right up to the end. He started from the Gilgal and the Bethel, and then later on, Jordan. He faced the huge river right in front of him. He was not discouraged by the barriers or challenge. He just pulled out the cloth and then hit the river and then it divided up. He had faith in God. He still experienced the miracle. And then when he faced the challenge, he just put all in for God by believing in God. He went through all the way without questioning. Are you facing something big that you needed to overcome alone you feel like? Probably that's the moment God wants to sanctify your spirit to show a miracle. If you face the difficulty in your life, probably that moment is the sanctifying moment. God would you like to intervene, to perform miracle, to give you amazing stories in your life. Watch Elijah as he come rolled up his mantle. What a strange thing to do in here, face of the raging river. Under power of the Spirit, he struck the water. And when he acts in faith and obedience, God acts. God divides the water. Not only does Elijah walk across the dry land, but Elisha gets to experience the miracle as well. If we will step out in obedience to God, others will be blessed through the obedience too. I don't just want to be blessed because of the blessing, say. But sanctification process always have a pebble effect. When you are blessed, the person next to you, person around you, can witness that amazing blessing and that you become a blessing to this person. I want you to be a blessing to other persons by being a blessing of God. Thirdly, Elijah is still concerned about the need of others. At the end, he felt that he can say that I've done already whatever God told me. I just followed up until in here, even across the Jordan River. But he was not stopping there. He lived his life fully. There is Elisha following close to him. Three times Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me." What's happening there? I don't think Elijah wanted him to just stay there. But he wanted him to be challenged by his faith. I think Elijah's spirit lived with joy every time Elijah answered back, "No way, I wanted to go with you. I wanted to be with you. Think of your children. And I will love you and I wanted to be with you." When they were in elementary school, grade school, they were longed to be with you. When from the birth of growing up, one by one, they want to be to cling to you. Do you have that feelings? But when they turn into the teenager years or going to the junior high and senior high, they say, "Stay away." Many parents of teens, they struggle with that detachment or rejection from their children. But it's when they get mature more and more, they cling again. "Mother and father, is there anything I can do for you?" That calls the maturity, sanctified life we are having. Here, Elijah wants to cling to the Elijah. And he was happy, I believe. God is giving Elijah a test. "Elijah, do you want more or are you content where you are?" God asks us that same question. Are you content where you are? Are you satisfied where you are? Or you wanted to go farther? Elijah had a choice. When Elijah told Elisha, "Stay where you are, I needed to move on," he had a choice to stay where he was or follow him. Elisha followed all the way through until God took Elijah away from him. He did not stop. Are you feeling that you are finished? I hope in Christ you can rid of that feeling. Until God said that you are finished, you are not done. Until God said, "Come home, be with me in a heavenly home for the banquet." Until that time, your mission is not done. Your work is not done. You are not done. Live fully for those people who feel like they live forever. We are not. But we live every moment is fully. Growing up means live your life fully. until God calls it home. After Elijah was taken. Up until that point, right up to the Elijah is serving, is in need of others. The request is large. He doesn't know how to fill it, but he relied on God again to fulfill the mission of God through Elijah. Elijah is a vivid reminder of our calling to be faithful unto the end. Elijah finished well, and God wants that for each and every one of us to do so. He has not called any of us to just coast and cruise in our lives. Up until the end, our mission is given by God through the people of God. What is the mission for you? Do you want it to sanctify your life? Or do you want it to stay where you are? Choice is ours. Amen.